We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning, and our guest this morning is Jason Mung. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing good. A little cold.
It is.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to our email at hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get those uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
You bet. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. And God, we thank you for your word for the hour. God, I just submit myself to you this morning. Father, I thank you for your spirit that lives in each and every one of us, God. And I just thank you at times like this, Father, that you have things to say. And Father, again, I just humble myself before you that you could speak today. Father, let the words that you bring forth to your body today be an encouragement, God, an uplifting, a direction. Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. What was your title?
Spiritual Warfare for Dummies.
Oh, yeah, for dummies. I didn't write it over here.
I thought I would do a little wordplay on that. I've actually been teaching on Wednesday nights. We've been getting into spiritual warfare, but kind of from a different aspect, I guess you would say, from even what I've grown up learning and understanding about spiritual warfare. So when God was just kind of talking to me about our home group and the things that we've kind of been going through, I knew spiritual warfare was upcoming, and so the last couple of weeks we've been hitting that. When I started teaching this thing this time, I thought, this is not an avenue that I've ever seen before, that I've ever even recognized before in that way. But when I was praying about this, there was three words that God had brought to my mind when it came to spiritual warfare, and those three words were unity, forgiveness, and faith. And so this morning I thought that would just be kind of fun to play on the words. You know, everybody's seen those books. If you have computer problems or this, that, the other, it's Microsoft Word for Dummies or Windows for Dummies or whatever. So in my heart in that is that I'm going to bring this down simplistic. We're going to get this down to the level where everybody can understand this, because I know sometimes when you even say the word spiritual warfare for some Christians, that's like a whoa, you know, like, I've even heard Christians say, I didn't even believe in spiritual warfare until we start seeing some of these things, you know. And it's like, if we are enlisted in an army and don't even realize we're at war, we've got a problem. Mm-hmm. Right? And so spiritual warfare is something that God calls us into. We see all through the scripture how he calls us to his body, right? Yes. We see what Christ was, being the head of that, but also the army of the Lord, right? So God has called us to be an army to pursue, to bring forth his kingdom here on the earth, right? So we're going to just start talking about these few things, unity, forgiveness, and faith. I've got several scriptures. I don't know if we'll have time to get into it all today, but we'll go as far as we can and just speak as the Spirit leads in this. So we are going to cut a lot of scripture. One of the things that, as I was looking through the scripture and even reflecting in my own life, I had made a note here, and it says, let's not fashion systems from instructions that we see in the word when it comes to spiritual warfare. Because oftentimes what we'll see is we will see a truth, we'll see instruction according to the word, but then what men will do is we'll get a hold of it, then we try to get a booklet, we try to ABC 1-2-3 it, and I think we have to be careful in that. Because if we're not careful in that, you'll have created this system. Yet, once again, that you're trying to regurgitate to try to get an outcome that you desire, right? Mm-hmm. And what I see all through the Word, even in my own life and experience, is God rarely does the same thing twice in the same way. Now, does he do the same thing over and over? Yes, absolutely. Matter of fact, those are things that I can grab a hold of and hope. If I see that God has healed someone else's body, that gives me a hope. You're no respecter of persons. So I know that if you did it for them, you'll do it for me too. So now I have foot to, or ground to stand on to say it's for me too, mm-hmm. right? And so I see that through the Word as we're just talking about spiritual warfare. Again, this is a very simplistic, basic, ground level, spiritual warfare, but I think these are very important key factors. And again, these are the words that the Holy Spirit gave me as I was just seeking his heart in this and what he had to say. So we're going to start out in Ephesians 4 this morning. And I'm just going to start in verse 1 and we're going to read through 6. I do read out of the New Living Translation. So if you're following along and yours is a little bit different, that may be why. So I'm going to begin here, Ephesians 4 and 1 through 6. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. So what I want to point out here and kind of really pull out of this passage is in chapter or verse 3 there, where it says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So this comes into that unity that he's talking about, right? And he gives us some instruction before that and two, what does, how do I, make every effort to keep myself united in spirit with others. And two, he says what? Always be humble, be gentle, be patient, making allowance for each other's faults. What we have to be careful of as Christians is we have to remain in a mindset, in a oneness of unity with one another. That does not mean that we have to see it all the same, that we have to agree with everything. But if we are walking in humility, humility would always say, if I don't see it the same as you do, it doesn't mean that I have to change your mind, right? Mm-hmm. It's not my job to change your mind. As a matter of fact, we see through the Word that it's men that plant and water, but it is the Father that brings forth this fruit, mm-hmm. right? So let's be careful that we are not getting outside of unity because we don't see things quite the same. And one of the things, and I think we'll hit some scripture here as we continue on in this, is realizing when we are tuned into the Spirit of God, that is what truly brings unity and oneness to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because we are listening to his voice, and his voice is speaking the same message, right? And I tell you this, we were talking before the cameras turned on today, about these are some exciting times that we're living in, right? Both in chaos and what I think coming just right around the corner, blessing we have never experienced before in our lives, right? We're going through inflation out the roof, interest rates going crazy, right? I know utilities, like all these things are higher than they've ever been in a season of our life. And so if we're not careful, we'll let those things grab our attention and our focus. And that if we allow that to take center stage in our life, we're missing the point, right? We have to understand that God is going to take care of us through the things that are upcoming, through the things that are actually going on right now. You know, in the United States alone, political upheaval is insane right now. We're seeing things that we've never seen before. One thing that I've noticed when I listen to the voices of the prophets, I see a clear message that is being told through many voices, and I love that. That's so exciting. And just as an encouragement to the body today, if you're listening, tune your ears, find those, ask God to lead you, to take you to the voices that you need to hear outside of his, because it's always there first, right? It's always God's voice first through the Holy Spirit to hear what he has to say to you. But the other voices, the body of Christ, the gifts that God has given to the church, they are speaking. And I see more than ever in my lifetime a unity in speech, and I love that. because what I truly see is God is turning the heart of his people to his voice, and they are tuning their ear to it, and they're speaking the things that he has to say. And we're letting go of some of those things that theology, or like you said, married to a denomination, or whatever that looks like as we've walked out our Christianity in America. Because I know now my eyes are being opened more every day, it seems. As I go back and I read the story of Jesus in the Word, as he showed up and he's bringing this new covenant to his people, it was a shift. It was a change, mm-hmm. right? Those two words, biblical and unprecedented, we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but those are words that I've noticed that the prophets keep speaking that are very prominent over and over. And so it got me interested. I love words. I love to see what they mean. So I thought, unprecedented, what does that mean, defined? What does unprecedented mean? So I'm going to pull up that definition for you real quick. So it says having no previous example. So everybody knows this COVID mess that we went through over the last few years. That was something that was unprecedented, right? Something we had never experienced at that level. It wasn't even just something that touched the soil of America. It touched the world, right? And again, what I love about this is when you see something in the natural, guess what? Something in the supernatural is about to show up. Mm-hmm. And what the enemy tried to do, where it touched the soil of the world, God is going to respond, and he's going to do the same. God is going to touch the soil of the world. He is going to do a movement like you have never seen before, biblical, unprecedented. What is unprecedented? It is, there's nothing that you can compare this to. Now, I look at the Word, and I see, going through the Old Testament, New Testament as well, but I go back to the Old Testament, the story of Exodus. I see unprecedented times. Mm-hmm. I see things that had never happened before, but God moved in a way that saved his people, that moved on the hearts of his people. And again, he's using those same words. And as a matter of fact, there was a prophecy that was brought forth that said, you look at Exodus and you see how great and how big that was. That was a moment. The moment, the parting of the Red Sea. But he said, get ready for moments. There is going to be more than one defining moment that is going to bring about the total freedom of the body of Christ like we have never experienced before. And I'm so excited about that. But standing in our warfare, right, in our place in the army of God, unity is so important in that place. Understand, again, you don't have to agree. You don't have to see it all the same to remain in unity with one another. God can use our lives as we do that, and as we see instruction according to the Scripture, just being humble, gentle, patient, making allowance when people mess up, right? Mm-hmm. And then knowing if they're walking in the truth of the Word, they're going to do it when you mess up too. Because we're going to mess up, right? That's what God's grace is for. That's what mercy exists for, is because God knows we're not going to do this to perfection, but with his help along the way, we're going to get this thing done. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right. So we're going to move on to Colossians 3. And I'm going to read a couple out of there. We're actually going to go down to verse 12 through 14. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for one another's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Isn't it funny how it's almost like a repeat? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that I noticed when I was studying through here again, and encourage people. Understand the Word confirms itself, right? As we go through and see the Word, we see these instructions that were written by various men through the Holy Spirit in the pen, right? So, but you see the same message. Again, we're talking about clothing ourselves with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. Again, he states, making allowance for each other's faults. And forgiveness is another word in this trinity of spiritual warfare today, which he mentions here again. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You must forgive, right? There's no place for us to hold in our hearts unforgiveness to anyone who has wronged us, because we have received, we must give, right? If we receive forgiveness, we must give it. That is not okay for us to walk in unforgiveness. And, you know, again, let's look at those things in our lives, and let's don't fall short when, let's don't get into that crazy thinking where well, I mean, I forgive them, but, right? If there's ever a but following the statement of forgiveness, you need to revisit that, right? Mm-hmm. You need to make sure, because forgiveness is, as we see in the picture of the word, it's as far as the east is from the west. It's, I remember it no more, right? Those are the things that we see in Christ, that they must be in us as well, because he lives in us. Those are the things that he calls us to. So again, in this place of forgiveness, if there's anything in your life where you would look at somebody because of something they've done and wrongness to you, I forgive. Don't let there be a but. If there is a but, you ain't there yet, right? Continue to press into what God has for you. See the truth of his word, and even ask God to move on your heart, that you would have the heart of Christ in this towards that person or people or whatever that is in life and circumstance, because unforgiveness is one of those things that will take seed in our life, and the mm-hmm. fruit of that will be something you don't want any part of, right? Mm-hmm. But as he speaks here, when we look at these things that we can clothe ourselves with, those are the fruits of the Spirit that come from getting into the Word of God and making those choices, following that instruction that the Word gives us. And from that, God is going to bring forth a fruit in our lives in that way. 2 Corinthians 1:17. No, 1st. Sorry. 1 Corinthians. And while I'm turning here, I'll make mention. I don't go through here very often and just pick one scripture at a time, because I know that that can be something that's dangerous if you're not careful. Scriptures can be used out of context, and you can pretty much build what you want it to say by pulling words together. So when you're referencing these scriptures, going back and looking at these, I want you to get in and around them. See the context of what God is speaking in this moment. But just for the sake of time, we're really having to hone in on some of the beef parts of these scriptures. So 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. And when God brought me this scripture, I thought, what does it have to do with unity? Like, I just wasn't quite seeing it at first. But I made a note here when I was talking to him, and it says, don't preach with fancy speech, right? Mm. Sometimes as teachers or pastors, people that are put in a position to teach, we want to make it look real nice, right? We want to package it real pretty. We want to wrap it real pretty. We want to deliver it real pretty. We want to do all these things. But if we're not careful, we're going to put too much focus on the things that we have to play in that, mm-hmm. and not allowing God just to bring forth the truth of his word, because it is the word that's the two-edged sword. It is the word that goes in between into the heart and cuts those things that need to be changed in our lives. So don't put your focus on the presentation, right? And I've even encouraged other teachers in this way. God has really brought me through a season, which has been amazing to me, where over the last 10 years of doing our home group, I study to know God. I don't study to teach people about God. But what happens from that is, when I sit before men, then I get to share them my life. I get to share them, of what he's been showing me in his word, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we're not careful and we get in there and we study to preach, your gifting will take you a lot further than you realize, but it'll also take you places you don't want to go. Because when you walk in your gifting, you're walking outside of the power that the Holy Spirit brings to the life. Because the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. It says that in his word. And we can get into those things and we can do them well, but I want you to know, this is not something that is for your own strength. This is something to only be done in the strength of God in you. So don't try to dress these things up, package them up so well that a delivery would be made that you think would bring forth all these things. And because what you'll find out is, if your efforts are there, you'll hand over this fancy present that nobody wants a piece of, right? Because it's my stuff. We don't need our stuff. We need God's stuff, right? So don't preach with fancy speech. And what he says is here, for the fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. I don't need to talk all high and haughty. I just need to bring the simplicity of the gospel to the body of Christ, and bring it down to a level where we can see it, we can understand it, we can do it, we can walk this thing out. So last in unity, we're going to go to Philippians 2, 1 through 4. And then we'll take a break after this. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Again, agreeing, we see that word, unity, right? Loving one another, working together with one mind, one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. There's that word again. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. So again, we just see this is pretty simple instruction, you know, because we all have a choice in those places where we can walk in pride or we can walk in humility. Mm-hmm. And those things present themselves every day throughout the day, right? Where we have opportunity to present ourselves in humility or present myself in my pride. And I would never want to lean to my own understanding or the pride or the way that seems right to a man, because I know, according to the word, if I do those things, I'm getting outside of the will of God for my life, right? And for me, that the revelation, simplistic revelation of that is, I'm the clay, he's the potter, right? And really understanding that right there was life-changing for me. Mm-hmm. To understand, I didn't choose this, you did. I didn't make me, you did, right? So those things that he calls my life to, if I try to come against those things, I am only going against the grain of God's design for my life. Mm-hmm. I'll never be at peace, right? And if there's one thing that anybody in this world, Christian or non, would say, I desire on the inside, it's peace, mm-hmm. right? We want peace. We want to know that we're okay right here and right now. And that is something, and that is a promise that God himself brings for us when you come into the body of Christ, is I leave you peace. It's always peace. And for me, that's the barometer of my life. No matter what circumstance I'm going through, as a matter of fact, it doesn't matter what circumstance I'm going through. If I lose my peace, that's the barometer that something's off here, mm-hmm. right? Because I can go through circumstance in life and remain at peace. I heard a guy yesterday, I was listening, and that's one of the things he said. He said, do you realize what the word through means? It doesn't promise that we're not going to go through, but through means he's going to be with you as you go through it. You are going to get to the other side of this. But how or the attitude that you choose to go through it with is up to you and your submission to God, right? And allowing him to do that and remaining, holding your peace in that moment in time of that circumstance that you're going to go through, okay? So we'll take a break here.
We want to continue to pray for Chris Carnahan and his wife, Denise. He was admitted to the hospital last week for round 4 of the strong chemo that he's been taking, and they had to stop it Sunday due to severe adverse effects. They're still giving him meds to keep his bladder wall from bleeding, and she said that his blood sugar had dropped also. Okay. But then on the home front, they've got frozen pipes at home. She's stuck in the snow. I'm not sure how long it'll take her to get to him to get him from the hospital.
Right.
And their electricity was out this morning, so hopefully that gets fixed soon. And we want to pray for Monica's family as well.
Okay. Okay, and I'm going to put Vaughn family here too.
Yes.
Okay. So, Father, we just lift up these prayer requests before you today, Father, for Chris and his family. God, we're talking about circumstance, and they're going through a lot right now. But God, I thank you that because of who you are in us, God, that we will get through it. We will be out, come out on the other side, Father. And I thank you that according to your word, Father, you can work all things together for good for those who love you. So, Father, that's my request today. I ask that for Chris's family that you would move, Father, that you would move on the hearts of the body of Christ that are around them, that they would move, that they would mobilize, that they would activate, Father, that they would come in and help and be an encouragement in this time. But Father, we thank you for what you bring to this situation. And according to your word, Father, you speak healing. You paid the price for healing in our bodies. And so, Father, we say cancer is a name underneath your name. And Father, I thank you that you're going to move on his behalf. And Father, even these things that doctors have tried to do in medicine, Father, we just ask that you would lead them, that you would guide them in every treatment that they would have, that you would give him wisdom, Father, to walk in those things. But God, above all, that healing would touch his body in Jesus' name. Father, we just want to lift up Monica and her family today, Father. Father, again, just going through some stuff. And so, Father, I just thank you that you know every detail and that you are moving, Father. This day was no surprise to you. You knew everything that was upcoming today. So, Father, I thank you for your will in their lives, and I thank you that those things will be brought forth. Father, I also want to live up the Vaught family. Father, in this time of loss and grief, Father, I just thank you that you're going to move. I thank you that you're already moving, Father, in this situation, Father. I thank you that you're bringing people to the knowledge of you, even in a moment of tragedy, Father. And I thank you that you will continue to do that, God. I thank you that in this moment where the enemy tried to come and steal, Father, you are going to give back blessing, Father. I thank you for comfort in this time of loss. Father, I thank you for comfort in this time of grief for the family. And God, I just thank you for moving on our behalf, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Serre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse TME Bailey. Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525, a company that cares. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.